Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Can we be there?
We are here.
Think of the time.
Oh, you don't have to think about the time. It's right here. It's right now. It's noon. We got you.
Said you now.
We got a cast of characters around here, I swear. Another one just walked in.
Hi.
We got like 70 people working for the fan these days. And
there's no room to move.
There's no room to move.
Especially when food's in there.
Especially when Wingstop comes through for lunch. It's like the hotbed.
Hosts
want to stick around. People want to come early. But it's a blast. We have a great team here. And we're going to be checking in with some of them later. We're going to go back and forth with James Merrillat later in the show. We're going to check in with Sandy Clough. And about 15 minutes from now, we're going to check in with the voice of the Colorado Rockies, Drew Goodman. And the Rockies, boy, oh boy, hard not to be impressed. Hard not to be impressed.
I was very impressed. I wasn't impressed that I still had to get you a coffee today because I thought Lambert looked great. But
he did.
He was dealing just like I thought he would. And man, that was a nice performance by him.
It really was
a really good performance. But at the end of the day, I still lost because, I don't know, the fine print, I guess. The fine print.
Rules are rules.
Your stipulations that you put in.
Wait, not that I put in. We hammered out those details together.
And I still lost. It's like, okay, I thought he was going to do great. You thought he was going to be awful. And
I didn't think he was going to be awful. I thought he was going to struggle. Because,
right.
And if you didn't catch this, and this didn't happen, I don't even think in the first hour of this show, so if you didn't hear, I was under the
that he was going to suck.
Impression
that's what you said.
That
I think that's exactly what you said.
That.
I think it is.
I said I thought he was going to struggle because, one, it's his first start at Coors Field, and that can come with some growing pains. But more importantly than that, my real fundamental reason for believing that Lambert was going to struggle is because he was facing the same lineup in only his second consecutive start just 5 days after the first start. You know, it's unusual that there's just a one bumper series in between three-game sets with the Cubs. So not only did he have to face the lineup, you know, a second and third time last Thursday, but he's going to have to face him for a fifth, sixth, seventh time, potentially an eighth time within a five-day stretch. And one thing that we know that is the more the matchup matures between the pitcher and the batter, typically it starts to favor the guy in the batter's box.
Unless the pitcher's just really good.
Unless the pitcher's just got the goods. And that's what you said. You said, I just believe he's got the goods. And I think that he is I think he's a terrific player and he's going to get there. But I was expecting some growing pains. It's
sure.
The same. He's 22 years old,
right.
You know.
You gave some valid points. I thought he was going to deliver, and he did. It was a shame that he couldn't go out there for the sixth inning, which would have got me the coffee.
Right, and that was the bet. If
that
he threw
was
one
bet.
Pitch in the sixth inning,
he had to make it into the sixth.
Must have been good enough through the first five and still enough confidence in the coaching staff. Here, but the fundamental, like the bottom line is, you were right, I was wrong, but I win the bet
right.
Hook or by crook.
Yep, you do. And I got no problem with that. That was the rules. And so you got your coffee today. I didn't try to say anything about it, right?
That first sip feeling.
It's good, right?
You made it perfect.
Good,
so.
good. I tried to deliver. Look, if I lose, I want to deliver in a good way for you.
You're
hopefully,
on it.
Hopefully you're happy with that.
I am. Thrilled.
Good. And I'm happy with delivering it today, knowing that I was, you know, in the end, right? And the Rockies won anyway. So, look, we're all winners here. Right?
We are all
we're
winners.
All
it's a
winners
perfect
here.
Combination for me. That I was hoping I was
well,
wrong.
You're
I
not
was.
Really.
No.
Don't ever say that.
I just did again.
Okay, we cannot let him say that anymore. He always does that. I'm hoping I'm wrong here, but I think Lambert's going to suck. just stop saying that. You can't say that. I'm hoping I was wrong before you say that. So,
but what
but
if
you
it's
were
true?
Wrong?
What
he was.
Like, what
he,
if it's true? Should I not say that?
No. Because listen, we all know that. Okay, I think the people that rock with us every day, they know that. They know that you're a Rockies fan, I'm a Rockies fan, we pull for them. You're a Nuggets fan, I'm a Nuggets fan, we pull for them. Broncos, we pull for them. We pull for these guys on the field, on the ice, on the baseball field, all football, all of it, right? But, you know, sometimes you're going to call it like we see it. So we don't need to say that anymore. How about that? There needs to be a penalty for a penalty. A penalty when you say that.
You are not the commissioner of this show.
I'm not. Zach, whoa.
Like you're trying to create.
No. We're discussing
for
this.
Me.
No, we're discussing this. That I do it too, though. I said yesterday, I said I do it also. I wasn't just calling you out for doing it. I also do it. But I think there needs to be a penalty for doing that.
Because for hedging.
For hedging. We don't need to hedge. Okay? We're the tone setters, Zach. We don't need to hedge. There is no hedging on this show. We just set the tone.
You want to know what? How about this? I'll work on it.
Well, what's the punishment?
There's no punishment.
All right, hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Let us know what the punishment should be, okay? Let us know what it should be, and we'll go with one of those, and there will be a punishment. There will be a punishment. There's got to be a punishment.
Speaking of punishments, or rather avoiding punishments, you and I have thrown so many wagers back and forth at each other. For about 6 months, we've been like, okay, to keep track of this stuff, because we can't rely on just Steven to just, okay, save that audio, and then remember it all when it actually comes up. We need a visual.
Yes.
And we've been talking about bringing in a piece of poster board, like a Stokely versus Zach poster board. For 6 months, I said I'll bring you 10 coffees today if I forgot one more time.
I was hoping you would forget.
You were like waiting by the door.
I was so hoping.
Like my son before I could, just waiting by the door. Who's coming through there? Oh, it's Zach. Does he have the poster board? Please, no.
Steven gave me the bad news. He's like, he brought it.
I got it. But it should provide some clarity here to all the nonsense that gets thrown back and forth and a bit of a scoreboard that we can harken back to who's got the leverage around here when it comes to our wagers.
Yes, we needed something to remember.
That's it.
And now we got it. Good job. You did bring it in. You've been saying for over 2 weeks now you were going to bring it in. You hadn't done it. But you said yesterday you'd bring me 10 coffees if you didn't bring it in. You brought it in.
I turned to my wife. I said, if I don't bring this, this is now on you.
You're putting it on your wife.
I'm transferring the responsibility. I went by the door.
Say?
I said, do not let me leave without this coffee or without this poster board.
It's on you if I don't bring it in.
She put it right on my bag on the way out.
Oh. I wish she wouldn't have.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, we'll start keeping track.
See, and I told Steve, I was like, hey, let's keep this thing quiet if he doesn't bring it in. Because if I said it on air today, I know what you would have done. You would have gone home, gone get it, and brought it here later this afternoon.
I might have.
Right?
I might have.
And then you would have said.
Or have my wife bring it during the show.
Yeah, then you would have said, look, I got it here. So I was already thinking about that. So what I was going to do was not even mention it today. I was going to mention it tomorrow.
Right.
That's how you are. Right.
That's how you are.
I know you're going to try to snake out of it. You're going to try to weasel your way out of it. And I know that. And so that's why I was just going to let it lay low today. And then tomorrow I was going to be like, bam. Where's that poster board?
I just want to give
10 coffees.
I just want to give our fans a heads up. I cannot wait for our segment at 1:15. And I know some people are saying, oh, wait, that's you know, almost an hour from now. 1:15. I went back and watched Hard Knocks Season 1, Episode 1 of Brandon Stokely's Baltimore Ravens. And I have so many thoughts. And I took notes on the episode. It's unbelievable. 1:15, you do not want to miss that. But first, the Rockies have now won 10 consecutive games at home. That's the second longest home winning streak in a single season in franchise history. How did we get here? We'll ask that question of the voice of the Rockies next. The Rockies have now won 10 consecutive games at Coors Field. That's the second longest home winning streak in a single season in franchise history. They can match the longest today in just about an hour. Drew Goodman, voice of the Rockies, kind enough to take a couple minutes here before first pitch. Drew, how did we get here?
By scoring more runs than the opposition 10 straight nights. that's the literal answer. Now, you know what, guys? They've been swinging the bats very well after, you know, the first two and a half, three weeks of the season when they didn't swing the bats very well at all. And thusly started out 3-12. Obviously, they didn't pitch great. at home during that period of time either. But they have really been consistent offensively, which is great to see because, you know, the starting pitching hasn't been what it was a year ago, yet, you know, they're 35 and 31 right now. But I think a lot of it has to do with how they've swung the bats and how consistently good their defense is.
It's been impressive, Drew. Last night, Peter Lambert, second ever start, going up against the Cubs for the second time in, what, 5 days. And the kid goes out there and delivers. Obviously, a lot of hype around him being in the minors and coming up. And when are the Rockies going to bring him up? They bring him up. And his last two starts, I mean, have just been terrific. Talk about Peter Lambert and what you've seen from him.
Well, it's true to what the reports are were on him from really after he signed as a, you know, 18-year-old out of San Dimas, California, that the stuff was good. His makeup, his competitiveness, his toughness, his focus, all of the intangibles were off the charts. And I talked to him after his game at Wrigley, and I said, you know, what was your level of nerves? And he said, you know, and he's a really humble kid. So just short of saying I wasn't that nervous, and he didn't act like he was nervous, he handled it, man. It's like, guess what? I know I belong here. I know I'm ready for this. And, you know, as Stoke was saying, to back it up against a top-flight lineup where you just faced them and now they're good, they have a feel for your release point, ball movement, et cetera, to go out and just give up one run again, pretty impressive stuff.
Drew Goodman, voice of the Rockies, joining us here on Stokely and Zach. A lot of times, Drew, our first impression of a guy can be lasting. And once you have what you think a guy is, that guy needs to, like, bend time and space to shake that early impression. And that has been the case with Ian Desmond here in his career as a Rocky. And the macro and the micro, his slow start to the season, he was hard to watch once again in the month of April. But that being said, this guy, it seems, has turned a corner. He's hitting over 300 so far through nine games in June. He hit 319 in the month of May. What have you made of Ian Desmond's season thus far?
You know what? Again, after a slow start, and historically with Desmond, he's not been a great April hitter. I'll share a quick story with you. The Rockies were playing the Nationals, and F.P. Santangelo, who, you know, longtime, you know, big leaguer, and he was a broadcaster now with Washington. He went up to Desi and he said, "Hey, one more day." And Desi gave him a hug. He said, "Yep, one more day," because it was like April 30th. Because he just, you know, for whatever reason, is one of those guys that there's been a notoriously slow starter. Ian Desmond is a mentally tough guy. And yeah, he wanted to get off to a better start this year. He wanted to have a better year 2 years ago when he dealt with injuries for the first time and even last year. But he's hung in there. He plays the game right. He plays the game hard. And he's had, even last year where the average wasn't pretty, he had a number of big hits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this year, I think it's starting to come together for him. And what you don't see and is what he does in the clubhouse and what kind of leadership he has. And I think his toughness rubs off on other guys. So, yeah, I mean, he's been an easy target. You know, whenever you make big money, Stoke, you understand this, that you're an easy target when things don't go well. But I think he's really handled it pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to start the way that he started and to be able to bounce back, you got to take your hat off to him. But he's showing up. He's showing up in a big way here lately. Drew, talk about this pitching staff. And, you know, with a lot of high expectations, obviously, going into the season, and it's been – it doesn't even look the same. Hey, you know, Freeland is down in the minors now. Bettis is in the pen. Hoffman is in the rotation. What do you make of this pitching staff? And is Jeff Hoffman here to stay?
Well, with Jeff, it's a performance-oriented business. That goes for Hoffman or anybody else. I mean, you have to put up numbers to keep getting have a spot on the roster. I think Jeff, two starts ago, even though it was a loss, threw the ball well. That was at Wrigley Field. I thought he really threw the ball well. He has the stuff. It always seems to be one inning where instead of, you know, giving up one run, it becomes three or four. So that, you know, that's key with him. For the Rockies going forward this year, And they have a, you know, we know they have a very talented roster, but the starting pitching has got to change in a positive way overall to get to where they want to be. Marquez, we know, is really good, and I think, you know, as this season goes on, he's going to get back to being, you know, more consistently dominant. You know, Senzatella has thrown out some good starts lately. The ball's in play a lot with Senzi. He's not a strikeout guy. They need Kyle Freeland back. I mean, let's be honest. Not to put pressure on one guy. I don't know if, you know, he's going to go out and have a 2-8 when he comes back as he did last year, but they need Kyle Freeland to give them a chance to win every fifth day. So hopefully he's going again tonight with Albuquerque, and hopefully he can, you know, get things straightened out so he can get back to the big leagues. But I say this so often, it's redundant, sounds like a broken record, but it's accurate. The sport doesn't change. It is always going to be about pitching, and it's going to be about starting pitching. And if you have guys that keep you in a game consistently, especially with this offense and this defense, and the pen has kind of been a nice surprise, they're going to have a chance to win most days. But they need more consistency and more consistent good out of that rotation than what we've seen so far.
Drew Goodman, voice of the Colorado Rockies. Drew, full disclosure, when I texted you about an hour ago, I forgot it was a day game. So when I'm like, hey, can you join us between noon and 3?
Come on, Zach.
I totally forgot. So I cannot thank you enough. Here is we're about 40 minutes or so before first pitch for you hopping on with Stokely and myself. Much appreciated.
Yeah, Drew, thanks, buddy.
You got it. Anytime, guys. Zach, I was going to tease you and give you a hard time saying, well, 1-3 may be difficult, but maybe I can sneak in there prior to that.
Well, they got the seventh inning stretch. I wasn't sure. So. Well, thanks a lot, Drew.
Hey, we'll put an extra commercial break in. Hit me back then.
Much appreciated. All right, Drew. Have a great call.
Thanks, man. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Voice of the Rockies, Drew Goodman. Great stuff there. The Rockies, not only an opportunity for a rare sweep against the Chicago Cubs, but an opportunity to match the most consecutive home games the Rockies have ever won in any season in their 26-year franchise. Cool opportunity here within the next hour.
I was wondering why there was a bunch of people waiting on the
highway?
Light rail. Come on, dude.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because,
you're waving your hands everywhere trying to land a plane.
Thank you, Steven. The light rail. I was wondering why, because usually you don't see that, you know, at that time when I was coming into work. There you go.
Gotcha. I didn't know. I'm like, hey, can you join us between noon and 3? He's like, yeah, I mean, 12:10 could work. I'm like, okay, that's kind of an odd time, but sure, we'll take you. All right, good stuff there from Drew Goodman. We'll have that game on here in the studio. We'll be tracking it closely. How about this? Stoke, if Vic Fangio's defense can recreate a specific number that his team put up a year ago, the Broncos will be, I repeat, will be back in the playoffs. What that number is, I'll give it to you next. If Vic Fangio's defense can recreate a specific number that his very defense put up just a year ago, the Broncos will, for a fact, be back in the NFL playoffs.
Can I guess?
Absolutely.
Points allowed.
It's a good guess.
No?
But not what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Good thought.
I'm trying to think of what else it could be. Turnovers?
Turnovers.
Okay.
Did you realize that last season, Fangio's Chicago Bears defense pulled down Stoke an astonishing, an astounding 27 interceptions over the course of 16 games?
Wow, that's a lot of picks.
That is some of the most interceptions I've ever heard in any single season in NFL history.
I think Jared Goff threw 13 of those.
Hmm. Trying to tear down my number?
No, I'm just saying. I remember that one game that they played late in the season in Chicago, and Goff was awful.
How many did he have that game? Do you remember?
Like five. I would say four.
Was it that many?
I don't know. It probably was two, but it seemed like every other throw was a pick.
You know what? And you're jogging my memory here. But that game, wow, that was a 15-6 ball game. A 15-6 game. He threw four picks.
Four.
Jared Goff, no touchdowns, four interceptions for just 180 yards.
Yeah, they got after him.
His QBR was a 6.2.
Yeah, that's.
But even,
it's not out of 10, is it?
So
QBR is not out of 10.
QBR is not out of 10. Here's the punchline. So here you are saying, hey, I think Jared Goff threw half of those because he threw four of them, right? Check this out. I'm actually glad that you said that because you could take away that game, a four-pick game, and they still would have led the National Football League in picks. It's highly unusual.
Look, I wasn't knocking that number at all.
No, I
just had a flashback to Goff and how bad his game was against the Bears. To credit of the Bears, they weren't going up against a second tier offense. They weren't going up against, you know, an offense that was awful. I mean, the Rams had a great offense. They threw the ball all over the place. I mean, Sean McVay is, you know, the next Vince Lombardi.
He wears a cape.
Next Bill Walsh.
He can fly.
So, look. They did it against that team.
And if you took that four-pick game away, the Bears still would have led the National Football League in interceptions by multiple interceptions. Think about that. And lest we forget, and I'm even doubly glad that you brought that game up, because lest we forget, that is the game plan that Bill Belichick copied to play them in the Super Bowl.
Yep. And they had no adjustment for it.
None. None. So check this out. I have more.
Sean McVay needs a bounce back here.
He does. He does, and you kind of say that like mostly serious, but a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
But in actuality, he was humbled to such a degree that he actually needs to reinvent himself a little bit.
He'll be looked at with a microscope now. Like, post-Super Bowl, how will you handle that? How will your adjustments be? Will you be the same coach as before? You know, the young, fiery guy, guy that takes risk, or will you be different? Will your team be able to bounce back from it? You know, so he'll be under the microscope a lot. Because of his failure to make adjustments in game and to have no answer.
You know what my question is about them as a team? Are you the Falcons?
Yeah.
Are you the 2016 Falcons?
That's right.
Glossy, sexy, up and down the football field. You get humbled and never regain your footing in this league.
And you don't look the same.
You don't look the same. So
that's a good one. We'll see.
So check this out.
Falcons lost their coordinator.
They did.
That's the difference.
They did.
And that hurt them.
And that's why I specified like them as a team.
Yeah, but you're exactly right. I mean, that's a great correlation there, those two teams to compare.
I have more for you here, Stoke.
More. And after you finish giving me all this stuff, I'll give you the one key.
Okay.
The one key for this defense.
Okay. So that 27 interceptions, I can't believe that number. They only play 16 games.
That's it?
That 27 interceptions.
Thank you. Very informative.
Over the course of
12-3.
That 16 regular season, the more you know.
Yep.
That 16 regular season game season.
I don't think many people knew that.
It was the full, well, some people might just woke up from a coma. They still think they play 14.
Yeah.
You know, those undefeated Dolphins, they didn't have to play those extra two.
Oh.
So if you just woke up, you're frozen in ice, Austin Powers.
What year was that?
1972 or 4?
72 Dolphins.
72 Dolphins, yeah. So the 27 picks that the Bears had a year ago, Stoke, that was a full 16 interceptions ahead of the second best mark in the National Football League and 9 more interceptions than the third best mark in the sport. I mean, that is just incredible. Furthermore.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I mean, how are you nine more interceptions than the third best in the sport?
Well,
that is incredible separation. Furthermore. Vic Fangio's defense forced 9 fumbles, totaling an NFL best, and I can't believe this number is about to spill out of my mouth, 36 turnovers in one regular season. That's 2.25 turnovers forced every single game that they play. Here's a reference point for you. I had to go back and look at this. To the 36 turnovers, the 27 interceptions that they had. For a reference point, you know how many interceptions a 2015 Broncos defense, that all-time defense, That great no-fly zone. Just take a guess.
How many interceptions they had?
Yep, I won't hold you to it. I'm totally catching you off guard because I know you didn't read the rundown. So how many interceptions do you
think? Why do you have to put me on blast like that?
It's good in a segment like this for me not to read the rundown, right? I guessed
it's actually great.
I was wrong.
I'm counting on you not doing it.
Right. And now I get to guess the number of interceptions that the no-fly zone had in 2015. I will say, well, since you said this, it's not going to be very many. 8.
Not quite that long. It was just 14 picks all season long.
Okay.
14 interceptions. That is 13 less than the Bears just a year ago. They had nearly as many less interceptions than they actually had in the first place. It is really remarkable when you take a step back and look at Vic Fangio's defense from a year ago. Just 27 total takeaways for the Broncos' 2015 defense. That's 9 less than the Bears had just a year ago. If the Broncos can come even close to that number of 36 turnovers, if they can get to 30, I believe they're going to be back in the NFL playoffs.
That's a lot of turnovers. Look, I look at that defense and I say, man, I mean, Broncos have what they have, right? You have pass rushers. We have Vaughn and Chubb. They have, you know, Khalil Mack and the kid from Georgia, Leonard Floyd. So they can get after the quarterback. Secondary-wise, you know, they have a really good secondary. We have a really good secondary, right? So when you can put pressure on guys and you can cover guys, it makes it really difficult for opposing offenses. Here's the difference, Zach. Here's the big difference is, can you stop the run? Okay, this is the big difference. The Bears were number one in the NFL in 2018 in stopping the run. So you couldn't run the football on them. So what did you have to do? You had to pass. Nobody wants to waste downs trying to run the football against the Bears whenever you can't run at all. You're just a wasted down. So you're passing the football. Well, now Khalil Mack and company are pinning their ears back like Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware and company did in 2015. What made that defense so great? Nobody could run the football on them. So teams were passing the football. Well, now you're playing right into their hands, just like Chicago. Well, they stopped the run. Can the Broncos stop the run? Because I promise you, that's what teams will be doing against them. Running the football right down the middle of this defense. Can you stop the run? And if the Broncos stop the run, they'll have a great, great defense. If they don't stop the run, now your pass rushers are like hesitant to rush the passer. They're going to run the football. Last time on 3rd and 5, they ran the football because we couldn't stop them. Now are they going to run it? So you're not coming off the edge like you should be. So can this defense, up in the middle of this defense, be able to stop the run like the Chicago Bears could last year? If they could, they could have that type of defense. But I don't know. I've seen too many times in the last few years where our rush defense is really, really cost us.
Oh, for sure.
And that's what you're going to get. You look at this defense. I mean, secondary-wise, they got it all. Pass rushers, they got them. But when you look at inside linebacker and then the your three guys right there in the middle, the nose tackle and the two defensive ends, can you stop the run consistently? Or are you going to be, you know, giving up 200-plus to Isaiah Crowell and then, you know, the next week giving up another 200 to Todd Gurley? So that's the key this year for this defense, stopping the run. If they do that, they'll be a really, really good defense. If they don't, they'll just be probably, you know, decent, good, but it won't be good enough. This defense has got to be really, really good if the Broncos want to be successful. It's on the defense.
I was going to say, when examining that Bears defense, you can make a lot of correlations in the secondary. You know, guys like Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson. You can look at Bryce Callahan, who's now here. You can look at the guys who are sacking the quarterback, guys like Khalil Mack, guys like you know, even Akeem Hicks. But they have two guys that we don't have, Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan, who who are
and that first guy you just said right before them too,
Akiem Hicks.
Yes,
that wrecker in the middle,
right in the middle,
right,
right. That's what he provides. Right. Malik Jackson, Derek Wolfe,
right
in their prime, 2015 inside rush, right, and that's also what we need to have this year. So you know, will it be Draymond Jones? Will Derek Wolfe regain form? But you're right. We don't have those
multiple 100 tackle guys like that are just hard nosed. Please do not bring it in my space, guys. And Josie Jewell, Todd Davis. Yeah, I'm optimistic about Josie Jewell, what he can be in year two. Todd Davis, for me, good player, NFL player, just kind of is what he is for me. I'm again optimistic. But that ain't Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan.
Yeah, I got serious question marks on Josie Jewell. I was hoping to see a little bit more from him last year. I think it showed why he got drafted where he got drafted.
The fifth round guy.
Yeah, just because of the lack of athleticism when it comes to being out in space. But we'll see going into the second year now. He was a rookie, so I got to also remember that.
Well, and the comment or the commentary rather around Josie Jewell coming out of the draft was he's coming out of Iowa. He was Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Is hey, he doesn't have the God given 40 times and broad jump and vert. He can't get from point A to point B like a Roquan Smith. But boy, instinctually, he's got it. That maybe you can shave a second off of his times because of his reaction time and instincts. What?
That's so stereotypical.
It is.
He's about the, you know, I'm having flashbacks to talking about like the white wide receiver. You're talking about the white linebacker right now, you know.
Yeah.
He's not the fastest guy, right? But he's going to read and react. He's going to be able to diagnose what they're playing. I mean, great film guy. And so, you know, his 40 times not there. He's not the most athletically gifted guy, but he makes up for it because of his high IQ and his film study.
That is literally the exact scouting report around Josie Jewell.
I know.
And it's hilarious. It really is because it does fall directly in line with the stereotype. But
that I didn't see, you know, I was hoping it'd be a little bit better. But also, I mean, that's the thing, too, is, like I said, I got to remember, too, he was a rookie. So we'll see. Second year, he should be better.
And they say the game does slow down
a little bit,
right?
It does. That's 100% accurate. I remember my rookie year. Holy cow. I didn't know what was going on. Like, running around with my head cut off. So, Hopefully, we'll see a step forward from him.
Yeah.
But we need to.
First of all, and I don't want to cut you off, but we need to, or he will not be in the mix here for very long. Because here's the thing. Vic Fangio knows what it looks like. Vic Fangio can look at Devin White and Devin Bush and say, they're not what Roquan Smith was coming out of Georgia. So what does he make of when he looks at Josie Jewell and he's in the middle of his defense? He's not going to be tolerant for some sort of growth period over the course of two or three years. I'm saying for this year, this is who's going to be in the mix. But if he's not up to snuff, Josie Jewell's not going to have his cleats in the grass a year from now.
No, absolutely not. So, you know, that's a part of this defense, the middle. If the middle doesn't raise its game up and play at a higher level than what we've seen the last couple years.
On both levels.
Yeah, yes. Interior guys and inside linebackers. Right there in the middle. If they don't play at a higher level, then this defense won't be as good as it should be. Because when you're game planning for the Denver Broncos and you look at this team, you're like, wow, this Bradley Chubb guy can do it all. Vaughn is Vaughn. They can get after the quarterback. They're secondary. Good. I mean, they got guys all over the place that can just cover guys up. Let's just pound these guys. Let's just pound them. You know, let's just run the ball, wear them out, wear those pass rushers out, have them second guessing, you know, if is it run, is it pass, playing on their heels, not moving forward. That's how they're going to attack the Broncos defense. And if you allow them to do that, now you go from possibility of being a really, really, really good defense to being, you know, just solid.
Yeah. And that inability, by the way, to stop the run has been an issue here for a number of years. I mean, a number of years. I even remember when in 2016, when the secondary was banging their chest, this is the year after the Super Bowl, and the secondary is banging their chest about their number one pass defense rating. It's kind of like, well, why would you throw it into the secondary when you can just run it down your throat? And the Broncos were 28th in the league that year in rush defense. So it was the ultimate yin and yang. Right. Yeah, you got a great pass defense. You're number one. That's cool. But why would we do that when we can just jam it down your freaking throat?
And that's what happened.
Yep.
And that's what happened. And teams will take that same approach this year. And if the Broncos want to get back to form, you're going to have to stop the run. I'm not worried about them stopping the pass.
They're good there.
Yeah. Getting after the quarterback, but the ability to stop the run goes a long way. And so it's kind of overlooked in today's NFL, but when you have a team like the Broncos, and you look at the Bears' defense, and you look at their stats, and you gave all the how many turnovers they had last year, interceptions, 27 interceptions.
27 picks in one regular season.
Well, and you say, okay, wow, why are teams throwing the ball so much against them? Okay, well, they got a good team, so they're ahead most games. But, man, you know their pass rushers. I mean, you got Hicks in the middle getting after the quarterback. You got Leonard Floyd. You got Khalil Mack. I mean, you got guys that can get after the quarterback, and that's not even talking about the two interior guys that you can blitz. Why are teams throwing the ball so much on them? And it goes back to, well, you look, well, they're number one against the rush. There it is.
Number one. You know how many yards the Chicago Bears gave up per game on the ground?
I'm just going to guess. I'd say 80. Just a wild guess.
You're such
Am
a
I
jerk.
Close?
You have it pulled up somewhere.
It's right in front of me.
Exactly 80 yards per game. Imagine that. Imagine going into a game, having a deep understanding that the opposition won't be able to hit 100 yards on you. And if they do, it's like some sort of occasion. They're 20% of a football field less than that every single time out. I'm wondering if with a talent base that isn't all too dissimilar from Chicago, I know it's not what it is in the middle in terms of linebackers and the boys up front, but it's not some extreme far cry of, you know, talent level. Broncos were a top 10 defense in the league a year ago. I'm just wondering with this sort of scheme and Vic Fangio, the quote-unquote evil genius, as Khalil Mack called him, with our guys and one of his in Bryce Callahan, can recreate what he did a year ago.
Where do you think the Broncos ranked last year, rush defense?
Where did they rank rush defense? I'll say, off the top of my head, I'll say 22nd.
You're right on it. How many yards a game?
What were they?
21.
Oh, they were 21st. Okay.
Yeah, right on it. How many yards a game?
Ooh.
Bears gave up 80. Right on they were number one under Vic Fangio.
Yep.
Giving up 80 yards a game. Broncos, you guessed you're one spot off. I mean, Broncos were 21st in the NFL giving up.
I'll say 130 yards a game.
119. So 40 more yards per game than the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And it goes, it goes,
for the Denver Broncos,
and it goes beyond
year.
Just the numbers, because that's a brute force stat. That's a who's in control stat.
Well, exactly. And that's a control the game stat. That is a control the line of scrimmage, wear the defense out. Have your pass rushers, you know, not just moving forward. That's, you know, when you got Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd coming off the edge, yeah, they're really good. But if they're playing two-way defense the whole time, playing the rush, playing the pass, then it's like they're not the same. But when they're pinning their ears back saying, "Go, I don't care, go try to run the ball. You're not going to get anywhere." That's what 2015 Broncos had. They didn't care. You weren't running the ball on them. Wasn't happening. So Vaughn and company just rushing the passer. Even the interior guys, let's get after them. But certainly, that's the difference, is the Chicago Bears and how good they were with stopping the run. Can the Broncos be close to that this year? Yeah, I don't expect them to be at 80,
right.
But can you be close to that this year? Are you going to be the disaster that we saw last year when teams just said, you know what, we're just going to run the ball down your throat?
Right. You know, that's a good one. That's a great question. What would you be comfortable with? Like what would have you content in terms of the opposition's production on the ground. You said, okay, it's not going to be 80 yards per game because we don't have a guy like Akeem Hicks and some of those thumpers like Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith. But we can't stay at the 120 a game.
You know, hey, give me right around 100.
Right around 100.
That
so you're talking
great.
About the 8th or 9th or 10th best run
right
defense
there. Seventh,
in the
eight,
NFL.
Ninth. Yep. I mean, that's if you want to be a playoff contending football team, that's what you're going to have to do. Yeah, you probably have to be more like 6th, 7th. You're going to try to be a playoff team. If this team wants to be a playoff team, it's going to be on this defense. Defense is going to have to carry them. Now, the offense can't, you know, they're going to have to show up to the party, obviously, but this defense is going to have to carry this football team if they want to get back to relevance again.
In doing the digging for this segment and just poking around the numbers, peeling back the onion, I came across the artichoke.
Onion. Yeah.
Peeling back the artichoke. I came across a couple stats that I was just like, wait, what? How is this possible? And I think you may ask the same exact question to yourself when I give it to you next.